Welcome to Our Blue Bahamas. I am your host, Jasmine Cawley, and today we'll be talking about the engine of community change, volunteerism. We're joined by three amazing guests who see it from different sides. From the Organization for Responsible Governance, also known as ORG, we have Ariana Wells, the Senior Outreach Officer, and we also have Jasmine Pitstock, who is the Project Assistant Response, and then also joining us, we have one of our faithful brief volunteers, Sinead Cash, and also she's an ocean advocate who is always available to assist. Thank you all for being here. So just to get started, before we dive into volunteerism, let's tell us a little bit about yourself. I guess we can start with you, Ariana.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me. It's so good to see you, Jasmine, and Sinead. So nice to meet you. To tell you a little bit about ORG, we're a nonprofit. We've been around for about 10 years, and we work toward building the principles of good governance in the Bahamas. And we do that in a few ways. So we do policy development work and benchmarking to make sure that our policies are in the best interest of the people that they're actually meant to serve. We also create tools and resources that bridge government and citizen communication. We lead citizen outreach and engagement initiatives to educate the public and make sure that people can take part in civic life in a way that is meaningful. And as a senior outreach manager, that's specifically what my portfolio entails. But then we also have projects to make sure that we are assisting other nonprofits like ourselves in building their capacity to reach their strategic objectives. And so realistically, we're a small team that takes on a whole lot of work, and we're just happy to be lending ourselves to the development of the nation and the communities here in the Bahamas.
And also you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I recently joined the ORG team last year. My background is in public health, so I kind of transitioned into this public policy community engagement that Ari mentioned. And it's been a wild ride these last 5 months getting to see how we can make the Bahamas a more transparent country.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Sinead, can you share a little bit about your background and what do you do? Are you studying? Tell us what you're studying. Give us all the details.
Okay. So, go from the start. I grew up a bit in Grand Bahama, but I spent majority of my life in Bimini. So I've always been surrounded by water and ocean constantly, and so I feel as though from a young age that passion has always been in me. I am in school. I'm studying at University of the Bahamas. I am pursuing my bachelor's in accounting. Very far off feels. Everybody used to say, why aren't you taking marine biology? I started and then I switched to accounting. But I still like to stay as close as I can to that field. So I'm a dive master. In my free time, I do a lot of diving, snorkeling, and what's not when I get chances to. But besides that, it's mostly class, volleyball, and then I have my free time.
Wonderful. So, you know, as a nonprofit, you know, a lot of our projects would not be responsible without our volunteers. So, Sinead, let's start with you. What does your volunteer work involve at Brief? And more importantly, I know you said it already a little bit more, but just dive more into it with passion being one of the reasons that you give up so much of your free time. You said you do volleyball, you're a student, you work as a dive master. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so with Brief, usually my responsibilities would be leading community snorkels, whether that be adults or kids. And then I also recently helped with Jason Taylor and the Statue Garden. That was cool. And then we went back to also start to establish a buoy line as well. But I think my tasks are pretty simple, that and beach cleanups. But I would say with that passion and why I'm so willing, it's because I have always been in volunteer programs. I think the first program I did was Sharks for Kids in Bimini, and that is really where I got my start. They did a quick little school trip. I was in grade 7. They took us to a key in Bimini called Honeymoon Harbor. We got to feed Southern Stingrays, and from that experience right there, it just hooked me immediately. So I volunteer with Brief now, but beforehand it was Save the Caves and Water Keepers, I'm pretty sure. So I did a lot of helping the community learn how to swim. I did a lot of volunteering for that. A lot of beach cleanups, and where I could, I would try to help out a bit at the Bimini Shark Lab. But I was constantly surrounded by water, so it's pretty hard not to take in the beauty of our country. And so what I've always hated when I would see tourists coming here, or Bahamians themselves, and littering on the beaches, talking misinformation about the animals and stuff, destroying our environment. And it's one of the most important things for us. It's the reason why we get tourists to begin with. And so I just want more Bahamians to see how important our ecosystem and our environment is, and to not have to let other people, foreigners, come and show us the importance of our ecosystem.
Right. So, and I love how your work is so formulated around this being such a good environmental steward, and that you don't have to be a scientist, that you can pursue different fields and still have a passion for something else. And I think that's so important. So, and Ariana, you see hundreds of volunteers from your dad. And so what do you think are some of the reasons people volunteer their time and offer to help? And in the Bahamian context, does this differ from other places?
So I think that a lot of the reason that people choose to volunteer is, one, based on capacity, and two, based on passion. And then I think that Sinead brought up a great point, which was that, you know, this was something that she's been doing for a long time. So to me, it sounds like this is like a value that was instilled in her from a young age. And that's something that's very important too, and that's why we have one of our programs called Active Citizens Bahamas, which essentially helps people to understand the importance of having those values and understanding the importance of not only the beauty of the Bahamas and its nature, but understanding how this country works and the role that you play in that as well. And so I think that people volunteer for many reasons, but the main reason is because it feels good to give back. And I think that that is why people choose often places that they are able to see an immediate impact when they volunteer. So for example, beach cleanups are extremely powerful, because immediately, you know, you go, you volunteer, you see the clean beach right after. And that's a challenge that we face at ORG, because dealing with governance, you know, the process is a lot more long term. So right. We don't see that immediate effect unless you're working on a specific project. And so what we're trying to do is instill the value of giving back to your country and of service, so that people can understand they have a place in this. They can connect with organizations that are aligned with the passions that they have, whether that be food security, Hands for Hunger, Red Cross, etc. But then also giving back in a way that maybe you won't see it immediately, but you know there are many people working, taking small steps forward to move us in the direction that we need to go as a country. And that's what we're hoping that people will recognize, so that they would be more willing to come and volunteer at ORG and do some of the long-term systemic work that we're doing.
Wonderful. And, you know, just to add on, so if there's a person who is willing, you know, like Sinead, comes along, how do you take that raw goodwill and turn it into structured, effective help? And then I guess, Jasmine, you can also add as well.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So it comes down to project planning, right, and management. So we have volunteer programs and we have internship programs, and they can be institutional, as in you're here volunteering or interning at ORG, at the Organization for Responsible Governance, or you could be working toward a specific project or program. So for example, most recently we had a cohort of interns that came in and worked toward our voter education program, and they did specific work toward that program, and they were able to see the tangible effects still to this day, because they keep up and they know, hey, this is what the Pathway to the Polls program is doing. And so we do create that structure for them in giving them a specific goal to work toward. But like I say, when it comes to the long-term institutional work, sometimes it can be a bit more abstract because you won't see that tangible return. We have policy fellows that do significant work toward the policy development that org does, but they won't necessarily see the effects and changes being made because sometimes that's a bit out of our hands, yeah?
Right, right. And Jasmine, do you want to chime in too?
Yeah, just piggybacking off of Ari, I think that with org, at least in my background, there's social determinants of health, and that kind of came to me just now that you can also have these social determinants of governance and kind of can give you different areas or passions or avenues that if you're interested in, there's all pathways that end up governance, whether that's like education, that is economic, that is, you know, through the environment, through all these different determinants that can end up impacting, you know, how we vote, how we end up just being Bahamians. And so I think that there's a lot of capacity for people to enter and find their own passion among org. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to only be through policy. It can also be through education. It can also be through, if you're interested in economics, if you're interested in healthcare, all of these things combine to try and make the Bahamas more transparent and a better
system. I love how you say a lot of these issues, like, they converge, or these different pillars converge, and that's all part of, like, the conversation we're having on volunteerism. And then Sine, I want to switch it back to you right now. I noticed that a lot of your experience in volunteering was a lot marine focused. So was it hard for you to find the right fit for volunteer opportunities? How was volunteering in these different aspects worked for you along the way?
So yeah, it has mostly only been like in water situations. But when I first came to Brief, I thought everything was like so simple. And I love that because that encourages more volunteers to come when it's not a difficult process. But it was literally, I saw a Facebook ad, I signed up, you guys messaged me on WhatsApp, and I came. We did a little bit of a walkthrough about safety procedures, what essentially the snorkels and stuff would be like. And it was pretty simple because I already had those skills to begin with because I have been diving and snorkeling for about 8 years, so I already had those safety tools. But it was nice to see that they would still go through to make sure each volunteer had that. But it was really easy fit in.
I think it's so interesting that you said that it was easy, because on the other end, finding and I think this is one of the reasons why we focus so much on experiential education is because we have an issue of persons having that skills, such good skills in the water. So you saying it's easy, but even Ariana, we could also think about the volunteer management and how the training go and all of the things that happens in the back. I see your eyes, Jasmine. So like that process of all of those things happening. So let's talk about some of like the challenges, you know, what we have in volunteerism. Let's, you know, sometimes people get busy, passions can fade, and all these things. So is there any one of you can take this question? Is there any way that what you do to make sure that the passion doesn't fade, that pushes you forward?
I'll attempt. So I love to include my family in my endeavors. So I recently got engaged, and what I would usually do is I got my fiance to be one of the volunteers for Brief. He's a dive instructor. I always bring my little brother as well. He's still in high school, and then we recently started to bring my fiance's niece out. Her favorite thing to say, she's six. Her favorite thing to say is she wants to save the oceans like Uncle GJ and Sine. And seeing that, instilling that in people who I love and that are close to around me, I feel as though that'll forever fuel my passion for volunteering, for Brief, for spreading more environmental awareness around the Bahamas.
So
Yeah.
I'd like to add to that before we move on, because I think that's a great question as well. I don't necessarily think that passion fades. I think that capacity does. Okay. And so it's like you walk into an organization and you're thinking, I'm going to be able to do these things. And then, you know, something else may come up because life happens, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we keep our volunteer and internship programs in cohorts. So mm-hmm. we have an expected 3 months you'll do this, 3 months, maybe 6 months. And then we know we can reevaluate if you'd like to continue after that. Then that's another conversation to be had. Because we know that these are volunteers. These are people that are giving their time and energy. And there's not much that we can do to compensate them other than say, hey, you've made a real difference in this organization. And because the work that we're doing contributes to national development, you've made a difference in your country. And so that drives people. And people want to do that. But then it comes back to, are they actually able to do that? Right. On top of school and family life and work and all of these other things that consume us.
So, well, what would you think is the biggest barrier to that? You think it's awareness, coordination, resources? You think it's something else?
Yes.
I think it's time. I think as somebody who loves, like, for me, I would love to volunteer with kids anytime I could, you know, and if that is like, okay, I know I love kids and my background is like in, you know, it could be in whatever I want it to do, you know, and I know that sometimes I have things to do on Saturdays. I work, you know, from 9 to 5. So it's really just this, the biggest barrier is time. You know, the want to do things, like Ari said, is there. The passion to do things is there, but it's just, you know, scheduling and, you know, when you are able to do things kind of limits your abilities.
And then I'd also like to add that as a nonprofit, you know, we have to execute the work. We have to execute against our deliverables. And so in working with volunteers and interns, that's great, but that is another work stream that we now have to add in overseeing the volunteer program, overseeing the interns, and making sure that everyone is still engaged, on board, moving forward in a way that makes sense for them as well. Because the people that come through org's doors, they have their specific motivation for being there as well. And so we need to make sure that we're contributing to their development. And we need to make sure that this is a two-way street. And so as the person that's responsible for those volunteers and interns, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to, you know, orient them and make sure that they know what they're doing. And like I say, like, governance is something that can be a bit disconnected. It's very broad, and it is something, like Jasmine said, that it intersects with all sections of life and with all sectors in the Bahamas. But at the same time, sitting down and explaining that to someone and getting them to understand the projects and programs that we have currently, and then overseeing them as well as executing against our deliverables in our other projects, it can be a lot. And so I think that sometimes it's not just the capacity of the volunteer, but the capacity of the organization to keep those programs running.
Right. And I just want to plug in a next question just because you mentioned that. So on one side, we have the volunteer who's willing and excited on that their specific time that they can contribute. Mm-hmm. And then we have our project deliverables and different projects in so much different natures. So how do we manage the volunteer expectations versus what we really need done?
So in our orientation process, I outline week by week what it is that the volunteer is going to be working on, what they're expected to do. And so there's a lot of oversight, but we make it clear from the very start, like, this is the goal of your internship. So for example, the voter education pathway to the polls cohort, they were specifically there to work on that program, and I knew exactly what I needed from them by the end of that internship. And so the workload, it's not overwhelming or overbearing, but it's very clear. And we make sure that our volunteers know exactly what they're here to do, so that we can mitigate against that.
Wonderful. And Tanae, I just want to let you know, a lot of our programs at Brief, although you may be part of the more water base, we have a lot of programs and a lot of persons who are not as who's not a dive master and have all this experience with kids. And we have other conferences that are equally important to some of the things that we do in the water. And I think too, is all about, like you say, managing that expectations. But at Brief, a volunteer, it can look like, you know, you're helping, you're out on a coral reef looking at fish, guiding a group. but it can also look like, you know, assembling a shelf. And and you know, and I think Ariana, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing at org, right? Because they're the four sectors that we work in, and so sometimes it's heavy on the policy, and then sometimes you're out in the community with me giving presentations, or you can be in the sector where we're working with nonprofits. We have a program that is mapping out all of the nonprofits in the Bahamas. And so you have interface with all these organizations that you probably didn't even know existed. And now you know because you did this. So there are different things that you could be doing depending on what your passion is. So we are able to fit the volunteer into what they're passionate about at org as well.
And so how do you think the relationship between NGOs and individual volunteers can be improved? I want to hear from both of your sides. So who wants to go first?
Between NGOs and
volunteers,
how they can be better?
Yeah, how we can improve on that relationship. You know, because sometimes, you know, some persons may be intimidated to, I know, just speaking in my experience working at Brief, a lot of persons are intimidated if they can't swim, they can't volunteer at Brief. And that's not necessarily true because, like I said, every time we have a beach cleanup, we have these documents that we submit that actually collects data to help make informed decisions on better waste management. You know what I mean? So although you may not be able to lead a snorkel group, but then you can also help with data entry into like the database. So how do you think the relationship between big NGOs and individual volunteers can be improved?
Well, I think that it comes down to being able to communicate the mission of the nonprofit, because any volunteer that walks through org's doors knows what org is doing, and they're there for a reason. And so no matter what the task is that you're given, there's the overarching goal that we are contributing to the long-term change and governance reform in the Bahamas. And so connecting back to the mission periodically, I think, is very helpful. And that's a strategy that I use not only for volunteers and interns, but to manage staff as well. It's like sometimes you get very caught up in doing all these things, and we have to remember, hey, we're all here because we're mission-driven. We're all here because we care about this country, we care about our community, and this is how we get to that end goal of sustainable development in the Bahamas.
And Sinead, just based on your journey, what is one piece of advice for someone sitting at home who wants to help but don't know how to take the first step?
Okay, first of all, I would say once you find an organization that you're interested in, find out where their head office is, if they have one, and show up. Say, I would really love to be a part of this organization in some way, some form. And most of the time, people will work with you. Like you said, it can be from hands-on stuff, like how I do the snorkel tours, to some people who are literally helping to set up shelves, clean up, and all the rest of that. There are other things that you can find to do. I feel as though there's always something that you can find to fit your skill set. And eventually, volunteering more or finding other things to do, you'll eventually get new skills so that you can find other ways to help in this world. So first step, find an organization that you're interested in and show up. Probably come with your skills that you do have, but I think it all starts with just finding that passion to make your way to them to begin with.
Yeah.
So something that I don't want to be left out of the conversation here too is the impact that corporate organizations can have on volunteering in the Bahamas. And I think that it's important for us to know that, you know, we see CSR, corporate social responsibility, being executed by a lot of these private sector companies, and that's wonderful. But realistically, the long-term impact that they could have by funding volunteers to go into these organizations would be so much greater and make such a better impact than what they're doing now by just, maybe they'll do one beach cleanup once a year. And the money that they took to go and get the speakers and the tents and all of that, that could have gone to contributing to volunteer opportunities and internship opportunities for people that then benefit nonprofits, but then also benefit the volunteers and interns that now have that capacity to go and do the work that they could at these organizations.
I love what you said just now. Because, you know, I really don't believe in reinventing the wheel. You know, if org is doing something that aligns with what you like, and for our leaders listening in, if there's an organization that is already, if you don't know that there's an organization that is closely aligned, like Sine say, do your research, go online. It's a huge chance that we'll find something, we'll work something out. So let's not reinvent the wheel. The funding is really, really important, especially when it comes to nonprofits. If it wasn't for grants or generous donors, where would we be, right?
Yeah.
So just looking forward, what gives each and every one of you guys the most hope about the culture of volunteerism in the Bahamas?
Do y'all want me to go first? Because I honestly, I have mine top of mind.
Yeah.
So for me, it's very tangible, right? So org has Map for Good, which, like I mentioned earlier, is the program that is databasing and listing off the 1,400 nonprofits in the country, which is going to present a lot of volunteer opportunities because these organizations, they need help, right? On the flip side of that, we also have Stefan Evans, who's working with Flow Volunteer Bahamas, who has a volunteer network. So do we see the cross-collaboration that could happen
here
if we were to get these two programs to work and coincide with each other? So when I talk about hope for the future of volunteering in the Bahamas, I'm hoping that there will be a tangible way for these two programs to interact with each other so that volunteers can come together and be placed and aware of the organizations that need help and what the volunteer opportunities are. And then also those organizations know who the volunteers are and where to find them.
Yeah. And so much as impact, just to piggyback off of what you said, one of our biggest beach cleanups last year, it was a collaboration between two nonprofits that we would have worked on. So yeah. I just really wanted to insert that in.
Thank you so much for that opportunity as well. Like, BeachLink is always here to support Brief and anyone that wants to volunteer as well. So thank you for that opportunity. That was great.
I would say mine is pretty basic. That at org we say get informed and get involved. And as you said earlier, Jasmine, a lot of people sometimes, you know, with Brief, maybe they didn't want to volunteer because they don't know how to swim or they don't know how to dive. And I think that not knowing how you can help can sometimes be a hindrance to some people. Even though they want to help and they have the skills to do it, they're just like, so many places need help, you know, how can I do this? But simply just, you know, as you said tonight, getting informed about the things that you're interested in and then moving forward and just getting involved in that, I think getting past these like anxieties about what to do can help in the future. And I hope in the future there are more people who just get out there and try to help where they can.
Wonderful. And you, Sine?
Okay, so I'm gonna go with future generation, more technology is advancing. Like you said, the network. I think that would be perfect to get more young people involved as well. And with Brief, there was Facebook. A lot of older generations do use Facebook as well. So I think a lot more advertising on social media and what's not to get more people noticing these organizations that they can volunteer with. So I really do feel as though Brief has a program where they go to schools to do educational information and what's not. I think continuing to do that will get more people involved. I feel as though when I was in school, there were different programs that I didn't really know about. And if it had been more advertised to me, like Shark for Kids came to our school, I feel as though if there were more organizations that would do that, you'd find a lot more volunteers that way.
Wonderful. And just to wrap up, Ariana, I have one last question for you. Where can people go to find credible, meaningful volunteer opportunities? I heard you mention a few, and I heard you mention a number of how much different NGOs are available in the Bahamas.
Yeah, so ORG is in the process of mapping the nonprofit sector, which we're hoping is going to contribute to the growth of the sector and then also to standardization of the nonprofit sector. But then that's a project that is still in the works. It's something that Vanessa Bethel, one of our senior managers, is still working on. And so I would say, in the meantime, where can you go to get information? There is a volunteer network that you can follow. We post volunteer opportunities. We have volunteer opportunities. We have year-round volunteer opportunities at ORG. And like I said earlier, they can span from outreach to nonprofit work to policy work. And so there are so many ways for you to get involved in the work that we're doing at ORG. And like you mentioned earlier, Sine, like, social media is a great place to go. I do want more organizations to feel empowered to say, hey, we need help. But of course, there's a vulnerability that comes with that as well, and admitting that you need that help, especially when it comes to those smaller nonprofits. But at the end of the day, it goes back to the mission, right? And the mission is for us to meaningfully participate in civic life. And so if you're interested, I think that you'll be able to place yourself in one of the organizations that are presenting themselves as someone that needs help.
Thank you all for this fantastic conversation. You know, you've shown that building a better Bahamas is truly a partnership between those who organize and those who are act. And I think that's just, it's just such a full circle moment right now. And just to let you guys know, before you leave, Mariana, do you want to give us your social handles on how to reach out to ORG? And let me plug in our own social handles, because Brief also has volunteer opportunities, and you can follow us on our social medias at Brief242. That's at BREEF242 and ORG.
Yeah, so you can find us at ORG Bahamas on most social medias, ORG Bahamas. Our website is orgbahamas.com. My email is ari@orgbahamas.com. And I just want to say, as a final thought, I think that the best way, and Jasmine kind of touched on it earlier, the best way for you to get involved is to be informed first. And that's something that we work on at ORG a lot. We love to connect with people. And so if you want to reach out to me, like, I would be so happy to have you, to have a conversation, to plug you with a lot of our free resources for you to be educated and learn the skills that you need in order to go and participate.
Thank you so much, ladies. This concludes our episode of Our Blue Bahamas. You can meet us next week, same time, same place, and we'll have a discussion that you'll be wanting to listen to. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.